Hello and thank you for joining us for Total Packers in our 2017 season recap. I'm Mike Atkinson, so glad to be joined with Larry McCarron. And Larry, as we look back on it now, the 2017 season will always be remembered as the one that brought about great change. The biggest change coming at the top. Ted Thompson, no longer the Packers general manager. In fact, he's senior advisor now to the man he mentored for so many years, new Packers general manager, Brian Gutekunst.
A man that's been called a rising star in the personnel business for a couple different reasons. Number one, he's an excellent evaluator. He's earned his spurs that way. And number two, he's got tremendous people skills. And professional football, in my humble opinion, the biggest people business that was ever invented.
Brian said in his news conference that the core principles of draft, develop, and retain your core players will remain the same, but it appears maybe a more aggressive approach toward player acquisition.
We're not going to leave any stone unturned as far as every avenue of player acquisition. Doesn't mean we're always going to get to the finish and actually sign the guy, but we're going to go throughout the entire process and kind of be in on every possible acquisition. Our guys are really excited about that. Just the conversations over the last 24 hours. We're really excited to kind of maybe delve into some things we haven't done in a while.
So here's the file on Brian Gutekunst. The upcoming 2018 season will mark his 20th season with the Green Bay Packers. He was hired by Ron Wolf back in December of 1998 and spent his first 13 seasons as a college scout before being promoted to director of college scouting and then the last 2 years as director of player personnel. So a tremendous opportunity now for Brian Gutekunst. What are your impressions of him, Larry?
Well, a couple of things he said during his introductory press conference really caught my attention. One of them was that he not only emphasizes building at the top of the roster, improving there, but also the bottom of the roster. And as we found out this past season, you're only as good as your weakest link. And I've heard that philosophy before, that you got to focus just as much at the bottom of the roster as you do top. And the guy I heard it from was Ron Wolf, and that's a pretty good role model. The other thing I thought was impressive is his background as a college scout. Spent a lot of time in the SEC conference, the best college football in the land, according to a lot of folks. And so he's not only seen a successful program in Green Bay, Wisconsin, he has seen how the Alabamas and the Georgias and whoever down there go about their football business. I thought those several things right there said a lot about Brian Gutekunst and how deep he is as a football person.
And he's also aided by the fact that he can now move into this position, move into this role, having a head coach firmly in place. So Larry and I, as we wrap up this segment, on the other side of the break, we're going to talk a little football. And we'll do so first off with a one-on-one with Kenny Clark.
You talk to coaches all the time, and most of them say you usually don't get your strength till 25, 26.
Guys, you're pretty darn strong right now.
I'm excited to be doing good as I am at 22 years old, and hopefully I can just keep building on that.
Kenny, whenever Mike McCarthy talked about you this past season, he didn't say you took a second-year jump. He said you took a second-year leap, as in real big.
Yeah.
Any particular factors involved in that leap?
I was just motivated to you know, be good this year. Just wanted to improve off of my rookie year. And I'm just working hard, being coachable, and just playing football as I know how.
Kenny, you're just 22 years old, and yet you've already got 2 years in the NFL under your belt. Do you look at that age thing, being young for your class, do you look at that as a positive, a real advantage?
Yeah. You talk to coaches all the time, and most of them say you usually don't get your strength till 25, 26.
Guys, you're pretty darn strong right now.
And guys don't usually hit their primes until they're 25, 26. So, yeah, I'm excited to be doing good as I am. At 22 years old, and hopefully I can just keep building on that. And by the time I hit 25, 26, and hopefully be in my prime, I can
look out.
Yeah, dominate.
Denny, not many guys who play where you play inside ring up a lot of tackles. And yet you are one of the Packers' top five tacklers. How do you stay so active considering where you're playing?
I was just releasing all the blocks. I mean, practice, I'm always fitting up and playing with leverage, staying low, being able to run and being able to hit. When I say run and hit, I mean chasing plays down or just playing with great energy. That's it. That's always a way to make more plays as a nose tackle and to put more film on. So I'm just trying to run, you know, I'm trying to hit, and just fitting up and make tackles and playing with great leverage.
Play action, Winston back to throw, pump fakes once, now he zips, and he gets up the football, and it's taken on the play, down the left sideline.
Kenny, over this past season, you registered your first career sack, and it was a big deal. Forced fumble, Dean Lowry scores a touchdown, all that good stuff. Was that a giant moment for you, the first career sack?
Yeah, anytime, you know, you get a sack and then it's going for a touchdown, and especially when the guy that gets the touchdown is in your room, and that being my first sack, that was great.
After you broke the ice, so to speak, getting your first sack, you kind of went on a sack frenzy,
yeah,
during the last month or so of the season. What was going on there? What enabled you to do that?
Being coachable and throughout the year, just learning more stuff about pass rush and just getting better in the drills and stuff like that, and then just applying it on the field, knowing how the guys rush around me and stuff like that, and playing off of how they rush. And a lot of times I'm in the middle all the time, and I'm rushing, I got to figure out some things to get myself around. So just knowing the guys around me, knowing Mike, knowing Clay, and Fackler and those guys, and getting around them and doing stuff like that.
Sup scrambles, hit the sack. That's the stop they needed. Kenny Clark made the hit along with Clay Matthews.
What was good and not so good about the overall defensive performance this past season?
I feel like we played hard at all times, played with great energy. I feel like we fought. It's just at times we let plays get away from us and never get off the field on third down, or we couldn't stop people in the red zone. Those are all things that we had to improve on. And because the first and second down, we'll be winning, and it'd be 3rd and 11 sometime, and we weren't never able to get off the field that time. So those are things that we have to improve on going into next season.
Obviously a huge step for Kenny Clark this past season. What are you going to be thinking about as you get ready during the offseason for next season?
Always figuring out a way to be more consistent, keep working on my pass rush. That'll help me take another step in my game. Just try to be more versatile in the scheme, being able to play a three tech, being able to play nose and stuff like that. After this year, I'll probably expect like more people to not necessarily game plan, but do certain things to, I've been seeing that a lot lately, where some people are doing certain things to kind of get me off my game or try to like restrict what I'm trying to do. And just trying to find a way to adjust to that type of stuff and still be able to make plays and contribute at a high level for our team.
Welcome back inside studio. Now we just heard from Kenny Clark, and Larry, obviously the one-on-one that you had with him. But Larry, Kenny Clark, not the only second-year guy, the only young guy there to make a jump. Obviously, Dean Lowry and Blake Martinez fit into that category as well.
Well, the guy that really jumps out is the second one you mentioned, Blake Martinez, because of all the tackles. According to ESPN, he tied for the league lead. Not the team lead, the league lead in tackles. That's a lot of action. And as far as the team goes, he had almost twice as many as anybody else. So that's certainly a significant step for a second-year guy to take. Now, with Dean Lowry, he's just one of those guys that just methodically, I would say, gets better because he's got enough athletic ability, but he's also a real student of the game. He takes his coaching, he applies it.
When you talk about Blake Martinez, 8 games this season, he had double-digit tackle number 16, his high water mark. I believe that was against New Orleans. Now, looking at the defensive secondary there, Larry, and you talk about Demaryius Randle, the issue being sent off the field in the second half during week 4 against Chicago. But then really from that point on, he really kind of had a bounce back year there. What did you see from Demaryius Randle the rest of the way?
The rest of the way, I saw the Packers' best cornerback and their most dependable cornerback, and that is a brutal position to play. One step the wrong way, and it's six the wrong way. I have all the respect in the world for the people who can go out in space and play that way. And Demaryius Randle, it was amazing what a transformation he had, because he went from that guy you're talking about in the first Bears game to somebody that was very dependable for the Green Bay Packers at a critical position.
So to the offensive side of the ball we go when we return. We'll talk about the emergence of rookie running backs Aaron Jones and Jamal Williams, plus Larry's one-on-one with offensive tackle, the two-time All-Pro, David Bakhtiari. We'll be right back.
Everyone in the locker room is a good football player. I mean, you're in the NFL, you're a good football player. It's then what separates you from everyone else, from the pack. And I make sure that I bring every single little element to the table to maximize what I can bring.
Touchdown, Jamal Williams!
Jones up to the plate.
Got the end zone! 15-10 touchdown!
Welcome back, Larry. As we look at the offensive side of the ball, we put the running backs kind of under the microscope a little bit. Unfortunately for Ty Montgomery, the rib injury and the wrist injury cut his season short, but it presented a great opportunity for rookie running backs Aaron Jones and Jamal Williams. What did you see from those two guys?
I saw two young guys that delivered for the Green Bay Packers. The Packers had a very respectable running game by season's end and leading up to that point. And both those young men showed the ability to be three down backs. They could run it, they could catch it, and they could pass protect. And I'm referring to picking up blitzes and so forth, which is critical in the Green Bay Packers offense. And Jamal Williams, kind of more the all-around steady Eddie of the two. And Aaron Jones, he more than likely is ready to pop a big play at a moment's notice.
Yeah, you go to that walk-off against Tampa Bay here at Lambeau Field. What an exciting play that was for Aaron Jones.
No, two young guys that really bode well for the Green Bay Packers as far as picking up the running game where it left off this past season.
When you talk about boding well, that offensive line bodes well, and they deserve a lot of credit for the success of that running game. And recently, Larry had an opportunity to go one-on-one with offensive tackle David Bakhtiari.
I've described you as a supreme technician with a go for the throat style. How would David Bakhtiari describe himself as a football player?
Someone with a chip on their shoulder, someone who plays with intention. I don't think I ever really do something without having purpose or intent behind it. And I think that speaks, and then I've always been taught since I was a young age to always play to the whistle, so I guess that's where that going for the throat always that shows up on film. They always say empty out your tank, so come Sundays I'm going to empty out my tank.
How important is attention to detail, paying attention to the little things? How important is that to your success?
I honestly believe that separates, good from great, great to elite, and elite to legendary. The little details. Everyone in the locker room is a good football player. I think Coach McCarthy had said it sometime earlier. There's a lot. I mean, you're in the NFL. You're a good football player. It's then what separates you from everyone else, from the pack. And for me, I've never been the biggest, the strongest, the fastest, the most imposing, the smartest, but I make sure that I bring every single little element to the table to maximize what I can bring. And from that has helped me tremendously ever since I first got pads on in high school.
Is there something during the off season like you look forward to doing, like when you're working real hard here, you're thinking, boy, come whatever month during the off season, that'll be really fun. Is there anything like that for you?
I usually take a month off where I'll eat whatever I want, sleep whenever I don't care about how hydrated I am. what I'm eating, when I'm eating it, and if I got enough sleep the night before. That usually is the month. But I, honestly, this is not going to sound, I mean, I bet my teammates will make fun of me for it, but I enjoyed training. So after that month's up, it's fun going back to where I train and proactive in Calabasas, seeing my friends that I train with, and it's just kind of rebuilding yourself again, trying to make the best athlete I can of myself. And then when I come back here, obviously during OTAs and camp, transferring that athlete and trying to make it the best football player.
Best tackle in the league. That's my opinion, but not just my opinion. Pro Football Focus, every time I looked at it this season, number one tackle in the entire National Football League. So how does, David, as you're doing all the things you just mentioned, how do you go about improving? What's the next level for you to climb when you're at this level already?
I really hope that you'll remember what I've said when I was younger, because we have done a lot of interviews. I've always said the day I'm complacent is the day I don't have a job. And like I said, accolades and personal stuff is awesome, but it's almost like a chip. There's something more important, something bigger than myself that I'm going for. That this personal stuff, it's nice. I'm not going to say I don't enjoy it and I don't appreciate it. All of it's great, but I think truly when I'm done and I can just look back on my career, really look back and think that I gave it everything I did, and I never let a situation get too big or too small for me, and I focused on the now instead of thinking about in the future or, you know, living in the past. Just kind of every day was the new day, and that was going to be the most important thing to me, was going to be the next day.
Collectively as a team, what do you think's got to happen for you guys to get back where you normally are, like playing playoff football and competing for a Super Bowl championship?
The simple remedy is getting 12 back out on the field, having him play. He's a huge impact. He's an amazing player, and the things he can do, not only with the football, just with his mind in the game, is something that I really think is special, that people got to understand that there's not too many. He's, you know, once-in-a-generation player may not even give it justice. But obviously, that's the first thing that comes to my mind. The second thing is I'm excited to see what new guys they bring in and hopefully build a culture and an attitude and a character that can take us to a place that we should be, like in 2010.
All right, let's go. Dominate. On three, one, two, three. Dominate.
On the other side of the line, Jason Spriggs, the offensive tackle there on the right side, he had an opportunity to fill in for Brian Bulaga this year. How do you assess his body of work?
Well, in training camp, to be quite honest, I was disappointed. I expect more of him. I think Jason Spriggs has a world of ability, and I was expecting to see more of it during training camp. But then when he had his period on injured reserve, and then he came back at that point, and he got the opportunity that you just mentioned, filling in for Brian Bulaga, I saw a different Jason Spriggs, and I was really encouraged by what he did, both in the running game and in pass protection.
A couple undrafted guys that got some work this season as well, Lucas Patrick and Justin McCray. What about those two guys?
Well, we saw those guys working together late in the season, and you talk about a couple of blue-collar brawlers. I mean, those guys, and both of them are natural run blockers, and pity the fool that lines up across from those guys in the running game. And I think the Packers got to feel real good about the depth they have in the offensive line because of McCray and Patrick.
What about you? Did you ever have to play with one of those giant clubs?
Yes, I did.
And what was that like?
I found it to be a great weapon. You jam it in the guy's face like that. I'm serious. Great weapon.
All right. When we come back, Larry and I wrap it up with a couple final thoughts, and Larry will tell you who his MVP of the 2017 season was. We'll be right back. Welcome back now for our final segment. Larry, we just had a look at the offseason calendar, some key dates that obviously all points to that draft on April 26th down at AT&T Stadium in Arlington, Texas. Obviously more intrigue for Packers fans this year than maybe in years past. Larry, a final thought from you, though. MVP of the 2017 season.
Well, actually, Michael, I've got two of them. Now, people who are into the skill positions, the glamour positions, Davante Adams. The guy can create separation when you don't think there is any, and he can make the circus catch look like an everyday, ordinary experience. Now, okay, that's the skill position. The position where people don't normally credit a lot of skill, left tackle, David Bakhtiari. I didn't think there was a finer tackle either side of the line of scrimmage. I didn't see one all season long. And David's got a unique combination. He is a master technician. I mean, he is detailed to the nth degree, and yet he's a go-for-the-throat individual. I mean, that's the way he plays the game. He's a great combination of attitude and ability.
That's how Larry is. He's a go-for-the-throat kind of guy in and around the office around here.
I want to put that club back on. I'm going to walk around the halls. People I want to find. You know?
I don't want any part of that. Thank you for joining us. For Larry McCarron, I'm Mike Atkinson. We leave you now with a look at some of the more memorable moments from the 2017 season. Thanks for watching, everybody.
Packers have won in overtime again!